Okay, we're back. We got interrupted there for a little bit. I'm not sure what we're saying, except we're saying something important, I'm sure. But I do know we're talking about people. I think it was, I don't know if the word dedication was in there, but it was kind of into that.
Leadership and things
yeah,
like that.
And what people can do. So, anyway, I thought it interesting what Hillary said in the news last week, or about 10 days ago, about the new alt-right. We may have discussed this last week, I don't know, but I'm writing an article for Current Issue of the Torch, and we mentioned that. And the new alt-right, because having that mentioned in national politics is pretty interesting. It really kind of shows the recognition that our movement is getting. And then a few days ago, Hillary mentioned that half the people or in the Trump campaign are from the basket of deplorables. And really, that kind of diffuses all their name calling they put upon the white nationalist movement, because they're claiming all these names they placed upon us, they're claiming it's on Trump, all Trump supporters.
Absolutely. Well, it's there's been a real, I guess you could say, well, I can't really think of the correct word, but just a hesitation, I guess you could say, from a lot of people who have similar concerns to ours and feelings and so forth, but a hesitation for them to really mentally place themselves into the same camp. And she's helping to do that.
Right.
She's making it
She
easier to them.
broadening our base,
Absolutely.
because she said, all you people, you're the same as all these white nationalists.
Absolutely.
And because for years they implied the white nationalists
It's
are,
like some sort of a fringe.
fringe and people that are like crazy and maybe kind
Borderline psychotic.
of, well, you say maybe bent towards violence or hatred or so on. And so they'll throw these names out at us. And I'm not a violent person. I don't know if I don't know anybody who is, and I'm not a hateful person. I don't hate minorities, but they put this label upon us, which causes people to be hesitant, like you say, to self-identify with our movement. And she has taken that and made it say, yeah, you, that's what you are. You're the same thing. And so it makes those name that name calling less potent, less powerful.
That's absolutely.
So she's really done us a huge favor.
Because
And
this isn't just about Trump supporters. You could go back a few years. This would entail all the Tea Party type people. This would envelop all the Ron Paul supporters, a vast populist and so forth.
oh, you go all the way back to Wallace.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's been massive part of the constituents who were dissatisfied with the way the government was moving, and they never had an outlet for it.
And the Republican Party has not
They
been,
kept the cap down.
yeah, they have not, they've shut out their constituents and have moved it towards the Democratic Party and towards a leftist agenda. And this isn't an attempt, like the GOP leadership says, this isn't an attempt or a coup by people to take over the Republican Party. This is saying, hey, you've been taking our party over long enough, out with you, we're taking it back type deal.
Correct.
But I find it, I do find it humorous that, you go on some different, you look in comments on different articles and stuff like that, and there's always that lone nut out there that'll be like, oh, well, the Democrats, they're the real racist, or look at, they'll point to maybe the Southern Democrats or something like that, and
Right.
some segregation policies. They'll be like, oh, the Republican Party, or you get people like Dave Barton with Wall Builders in
Oh,
Texas,
the Glenn Beck, Sam Mike.
Glenn Beck, people who have a lot of information, but somehow their guilt is so overwhelming that they just have to pick you know, they'll look at, you know, maybe some few black legislators during the South, you know, part of the Republicans and so forth. They'll be like, oh, the Republican Party's been on the sides of black people for years, and the Democrats are the ones against black, you know, or the ones against blacks and so forth, and the Republican Party, you know, it's like, come on. They just try to pick and choose moments.
Yeah, you can't go by a party label that the Southern Democrats carrying. You got to look at the philosophy and the ideals. And this is why all those Southern Democrats flipped towards the Republican Party.
Right.
Because the Republican Party did maintain more conservative traditional values.
Right.
And the Democratic Party has been captured. There's a wonderful book on it called The Iron Curtain Over America, mm-hmm. written by William, no, not William Guy Carr. What was the name author of that book? Colonel John Beatty. And it basically is it's a book about how the Democratic Party was captured by the progressives back in the 30s mm-hmm. and in the 40s. And so you had the Democrats and Republicans who are basically, you know, still loved America, different ideals and so forth, but they still had a fundamental love for America. And then the progressives captured Democratic Party and shifted from into an anti-American party, very subtly. So now you have Democrats who both, basically, they don't say they hate America, but they do, because they hate all the values, they hate all the ideals, they hate all the fundamental principles of the country, all its history and its heritage. They hate everything that America stood for. They hate the fact that America was a white country, a white power establishment. They hate all those things, and they're wanting to change it. Yeah. So the Democratic Party was captured by the progressives in the 30s and 40s, turned into what we'll call the Communist Party, a progressive party, and that is the party that has been pushing the civil rights agenda for years. It was not the Republicans. Right. It was the Democrats that began pushing this Negro agenda, this Negro non-white takeover of America.
Yeah, and you know, I personally don't really care for the term. I know we use it a lot, but I don't really care for the term progressives. I know that's a big, you know, term that Glenn Beck really likes to push, because you know that would, you know, that would include President Wilson, who I know there's some negative things he did, but he was also for white people. He had a high regard for the Klan and so forth.
Theodore Roosevelt being another one,
right? But you know, the basically, I think Glenn Beck paints anybody who tried to instill any type of social reform as a progressive, whether those social reforms were to the benefit of a Christian population or whether it was to the detriment. So,
well, Rachel, the thing is, these people, I'm going to get back on track here, they use different names at different times.
Right.
They captured names. They could control names. They use those names, and then they abandon it and jump to another name.
Right.
And so it's hard to pick a name and say this is what they are.
Right.
It's really very difficult.
Right. And that's important. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. That's why, you know, Glenn Beck can get up there with his bulletin board and erasers and whatever and draw his little things here and there and connect the dots and stuff like that.
Except he can't connect the dot with Martin Luther King and all his connections with the Congress.
Right, yeah, somehow he has trouble doing that. But, you know, you look at just different reforms. For instance, you know, things as simple as, yeah, we're not going to, you know, we're going to have a little bit of regulation on meat in the manufacturing process, and you can't sell rotten meat to people. Or, no, you can't work children 10 hours a day, and there's going to, you know, so I mean, there's different things, and you know, there's different things that people would call progressive back then that wasn't a communist type plot. There were just Christian people in communities working to do beneficial things for their communities, you know, and people have this, you know, white people are a people of law and order. And some people have almost come to this and almost an anarchist type attitude that anything a government does is not right. Anything, any law government passes is unjustified. When in fact, you know, communities do have the authority to come together and say, you can't work an 8-year-old in the coal mines for 10 hours a day And you can't have a coal mine monopoly that takes advantage of communities. You know, we're not going to allow you to do that. This is our community. We have standards for our families and so forth. But you get people like Glenn Beck, and they try to paint everybody together as some sort of being included in some sort of communist plot, when in fact there were communists that got into those organizations and movements and took them over. But that doesn't mean that the basis of those movements and so forth had a communistic agenda at the outset. And I think that's important for people to remember, because oftentimes those who are of a more, and I don't like the word liberal either, but those people who, white people, who have a more compassionate frame of mind, I guess, towards just the community at large, they look at some people who oppose any type of government regulation as if they're just mean, individualistic, don't care about anybody else, only out for themselves type people. And their natural compassion then inhibits them from wanting to be involved with causes or groups or movements of people who look as if they have no compassion for anyone else. And so I think it's, you know, important for us to recognize that, you know, first off, this country was based on white Christian people. And when you throw a whole mix of alien religions and political philosophies and Marxism and communism and all this, these type of concepts, and throw in a bunch of non-white people into the mix, then that throws kind of a monkey into, or a wrench, how is it, monkey into the wrench, wrench into the monkey, or whatever
monkey
it is.
Wrench into
monkey
the
wrench. Okay. That kind of throws the problem into the overall thing, because white people do have, I think, an authority and a right to take their communities and put it on a good and proper footing. And everything that, you know, our people has done for the most part in the United States has been a move towards the protection of and promotion of the family.
Well, again, it's because the names are taken. They reach way back to Benjamin Franklin, because he created a public library, because he created the fire department, that he was somehow a progressive,
right?
You know, and then they'll say, all right, so if he was alive today, he'd be doing the same progressive thoughts that progressives today are doing,
right?
When the whole thing has shifted over the years, so labels are something that people cannot rely upon. When you hear somebody being a liberal or conservative or right wing or left wing or progressive or socialist, all those terms have been interchanged meaning over the decades.
Right.
And you can take somebody who in 1920 might have been labeled somebody as a socialist, didn't necessarily mean he was a communist.
Right.
You know, he worked for some social change in the community, upgrade the community, help the community help themselves and so forth.
Right.
So it's not as simple as just grabbing a name and attaching
right.
everybody in every decade of history of the world
right.
with that name.
Right.
Just can't do it.
Right. And, you know, I think that's important, you know, for people to, I think it's important for people to understand that. And so many people, like you say, they are very short-sighted, and they just look at, you know, everybody in this time period of, well, they're all progressives, so they're all communists. And then you get compassionate.
They're all for, therefore, they're alive today, they'll be all for abortion, they'll be all for interracial marriage, you'll all be for gay rights.
Right.
Okay, all these people in the 20s will be all for all these things that are considered the progressive agenda today.
Right. One instance I guess you could, and I don't even want to get into really this discussion, but, you know, they look at the when women first had the vote, and they look at the three areas in which taxes were raised and government put out more money. Well, and they say, well, this was the beginning of the welfare system. Well, it was for schools, education, and roads. Now, those things, those people at that time, you know, anti-abortion, race mixing, the women of that area, you know, they helped get the Mann Act instituted, which, you know, made it a extreme felony for, you know, a black man to take a white woman across state lines. A lot of really great pro-family things. Things today, people are like, you know, well, we need, you know, better hospitals in the communities and better roads and things like that. Well, these are just some things, and people would look at that back then and say, well, that was progressive, you know, or so forth. And there's just a lot of community-type issues that people fought for, whether men or women back then, that were just based on taking care of the community, as Christian people ought to do. And I think if you, you know, go back into the Old Testament and you look at, you know, our people under the Mosaic Law and the Israelites and so forth, you know, our people, that part of that tithe, you know, that people were giving each year, that went to taking care of the elderly and the disabled and the orphan and the widow. And if they'd had a big highway system then or hospitals, it would have been used to take care of the people, not to burden people with excess taxes. That's why there was a flat rate, basically an income tax. You know, you make an income, you pay it. If you don't, you don't. You know, you got 10%. There you go. This is to help take care of your community and your nation.
Well, you know, and George Wash said eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Mm-hmm. And you can take an example that you mentioned before about the laws are passed for the to help the community and so on. But what has happened is again, what to call them, you don't know, except right. Enemies of freedom, mm-hmm. you know, have moved and taken those things that were pretty well structured.
Hijacked them.
And that, right, hijack and broaden the meaning of them.
Right.
Just like the, one example is the Brown versus Board of Education.
Right.
You know, they hijacked the laws on interstate commerce mm-hmm. and applied it to the school system.
Right.
Because trucks that were servicing the school, mm-hmm. bringing the foods for the cafeteria,
right.
bringing supplies to the school,
right.
all those things that were servicing the school traveled interstate highways.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they used that law to hijack. Now, when they first had that law, they had no intention of using that to break down our
right.
schools. The another one is this phrase sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People today, most people today think sexual orientation simply means a man's attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
And as horrible, disgusting, and vile and sinful as we recognize that, that phrase in itself is very open
right.
because sexual orientation not defined.
Right.
So most people think that just means men with men, but it doesn't mean that.
Right.
The broad term that they envision but not invoking yet, the broad term would be any sexual orientation with farm animals, with goats, with
children right.
babies, with furniture, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And so
basically it means whatever your sexual fetish is.
Correct.
That's it.
All right. So it's not limited to that. So that's how law has been hijacked. That's why you go back into the 20s of periods of time before that, when laws are passed, very simple, very confined, to help something in the community, and then they take and hijack that and broaden the meaning, broaden the term.
Right.
And that's how all these other things have slipped into the pot.
Right. It's like, you know, take for instance, you know, having part of the, you know, let's say disability, you know, benefits for people that are disabled, you know, in a white Christian nation, and I think under Old Testament Mosaic law, I think we can show that that's something that as a community you come together and you take care of the disabled if they're truly disabled, you know, or a true widow or orphans or things like that. But you bring 10 million refugees and legal immigrants here and you get 20% of them that are disabled, and then you're like, all of a sudden you're taking care of them too. It's like, you know, you can't have a compassionate government run specifically to take care of your house, your neighborhood, your community, and your nation when you're infiltrating a whole bunch of other people into it.
Well, it's like the Civil Rights Laws. The Civil Rights Laws was passed on the idea that there's blacks in this country
mm-hmm.
who have suffered the indignities of being second-class citizens for years,
mm-hmm.
and now we're going to make up for it. And even though we may disagree with that, if it was limited to that, it might have been, we might have survived.
Right.
But what you ended up having is you had some black guy might come here from Africa, and he steps off the boat, and he immediately is protected by civil rights laws.
Right.
When he don't have any history of being abused by our system.
He's never been under U.S. jurisdiction.
Right. But because he's black, he gets all the protections, as or any other person.
Illegal aliens. Oh, they got civil rights protections. Why? Get them out of the country.
Right.
They shouldn't even be here in the first place to enjoy anything. So, anyway. But, you know, all of that, you know, we started out talking about Constitution Day yesterday and just the magnificence of the Constitution. And, you know, there'll be those that argue that, well, the Constitution just hasn't been able to sustain our country. And the bottom line is any government, because we're sinful human beings, any government is, if it's not run accordingly to, like you always point out, you know, loving Jesus and loving your people, if you don't place that as your priority and the premise for whatever type of government it is, whether it's a monarchy where the king knows that we're looking out for Jesus Christ and my white subordinates, or if it's a constitutional republic like this was supposed to be, where we're looking out for our white neighbors and understanding to keep everyone out of the house, basically, then we're failed. You know, we're moving towards something that's not going to continue to work because we're just sinful people. And so you always have to keep those two priorities.
Well, any government, when it's ruled by man, is going to eventually descend. Even ancient Israel, who was given the administration of God's laws and God's kingdom within established, eventually fell to sinful men.
Within only a few short years.
Yeah, so. Well, I think we're about out of time here. And we had Andrew, oh, not Andrew, we had
Caleb,
we get the right name. Caleb jumped in the last half. Can you say hi to Caleb?
Hi.
Well, loud enough so they can hear you.
Hi.
Okay, that's good. Well, until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
Rachel coming
out. And just reminding you to love your God.
Yep, and Caleb
Robb. Caleb Robb. Reminding you to what, Caleb? Love your God?
Love your God and love your people.
Very good.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.